The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor at KIOW Forest City and Aaron Summers at the Pocahontas Record Democrat. A.J., you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, thank you very much. We're seeing some gruesome scenes now coming out of Ukraine. We hear President Biden finally calling Putin a war criminal. What are the next steps for the United States here with this situation?
Well, there's probably at least two areas. They could be brought up under Ukraine law for prosecution. It could be also in the area of the International Court of Justice at The Hague, Netherlands. Could be brought there. In fact, I think that President Zelensky has asked this prosecution to be done by the International Court of Justice. The main problem is to know who exactly did these war atrocities. Maybe there's some witnesses there in Ukraine that can say this Russian soldier, if they know their name, it could be. But then if they're back home in Russia and Russia does not give them up, then you end up usually trying them in absentia, which maybe would result in a guilty verdict, but it might not entail any punishment. So it's not an easy thing to do. And I doubt if Putin's got a lot of support from the Russian people with the number of Russian soldiers that have been killed. Aaron.
Thank you. Just to follow up, are there any actions that you think that the United States needs to be taking right now or an active role in trying to pursue that prosecution in any way?
Well, I'm sure if there is any action we can be taken, I'm sure it's going to be taken. Now, when I say that, I believe the United States does not subject itself to the jurisdiction of the World Court. The Court of International Justice. I believe Russia does not either, but that doesn't mean that the court can't do it. And the United States can ask the court to do it, even though we don't agree with or subject our country and our people to the jurisdiction of the court. And I hope, let me answer this question. I mean, your question this way. I hope we're pursuing that because this sort of activity was supposed to end at the end of World War II, never to happen again. But it sure is happening in Ukraine with innocent citizens. Okay, let's go back to AJ.
If the Russians decide that they are going to retreat, get out of Ukraine, do you think the United States should come in and start doing help rebuilding the country?
I think that you'll find several countries trying to do that, and if there's a whole mass of countries that are willing to help rebuild, the answer is yes. I guess before I give you a final answer, I'd want to know what other countries are doing. Aaron?
All right, I'm going to change subjects here quite a bit. What is the outlook? I know you had have updated the cattle market reform bill. You know, what is the outlook for that bill and just kind of where do things stand on it right now?
Okay, I would say it's very much improving from this standpoint, that the chairman of the committee is very, very ambitious to have a hearing on it and get it out of committee. That's the first step, and that's beyond that, I think that we have to build more support. There's probably not as much appreciation of agriculture in the United States Senate as there ought to be, even though every senator's got some agriculture. But when it comes to actual family farming and the problems that cattle feeders have getting markets for their cattle, I doubt if very many people understand it. But there's only two of us in the United States Senate that are crop farmers. There's probably another two or three people that are cattlemen. But that's pretty four or five people that understand the problem. And so we got to build support. AJ?
Senator, there are fundamental reasons why you oppose the nomination of Ketanji Brown Jackson. Is one of those that she seems to legislate from the bench with some of her decisions, or are there other reasons behind it?
That's one of three or four. So let me give you the other ones, and then I'll explain the one you ask about. So you're talking, there's the area of soft on crime, not willing to take a position on the packing of the courts, not willing to take a position on what's very basic to our Constitution, that people have natural rights, that we get them from God, we don't get them from the government, and the Constitution's written to protect the people from the government, and even not having a definition for the word woman is just one example. Now, get back to the issue that you brought up.
Legislating from the bench.
Yes. Perfect example of that would be my passage of the First Step Act, and how the First Step Act doesn't allow any consideration of adjustment of sentences on retroactivity, and she applied that to some people that were convicted before the First Step Act was passed. So that's just one example of legislating from the bench. And in fact, it was so bad when she was a district judge that the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals overturned her. Aaron?
I know another one of the issues that came up during those hearings were discussions of how she set her sentences for sexual offenses. And I just wondered if there's any discussion or feelings amongst senators. I was listening to some fairly conservative lawyers and media critics talking about how the answer, if Congress is concerned about the sentences that judges are giving, is to impose longer mandatory minimum sentences. Is there any movement to address some of that after that came to light in the hearings last week or the week before?
You know, you heard me talk about the First Step Act.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't disagree with the criticism that you heard of her, but it seems to me that we're in a position where mandatory minimums have less backing now than they did before. Now we're talking about a law that was passed 30 years ago, and then maybe 15 years ago, the court said that the Congress, it was unconstitutional for the Congress to put sentencing guidelines in. And you're talking about stricter sentencing guidelines. We can have mandatory minimums, but sentencing, telling judges how much they can sentence, is a whole different issue. AJ.
Senator, we got this issue now where they may be taking away, I think it's Title 42, with regards to immigration down south, and now we're hearing that there is even more trafficking of victims going on down there. What are your actions with regards to this?
Well, first of all, I've got, I'll bet, five or six pieces of legislation I've been a partner of that have dealt with trafficking of human beings, both for slavery purposes, which are economic, or sex slavery, which speaks for itself. And the fact that that's going on even though we have Section 42. But if they do away with Section 42, it isn't going to only enhance more human trafficking, but it's going to also make sure that more people enter this country illegally, and we're now under Section 42, they can be returned to back across the Rio Grande or back to their home countries. That'll be the Border Patrol won't be able to do as much of that. You're going to have more people coming in. Biden has a border crisis on his hands, and it's all happening while the administration makes decisions like this, and it's going to just be worse. Last question, Aaron.
Thank you. Just in general, what are Iowans asking you about? What are their biggest concerns right now?
Inflation, the cattle pricing thing I told you about, prescription drug prices, the situation in Ukraine. We're still hearing about the border crisis. Another way to put it would be about illegal immigration. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, AJ and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.